Again, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And we've been speaking on this passage for a couple of weeks now. And so, Lord willing, today we'll get to the armor a little bit. But before we do, I'd like to again review what has been said before a little bit, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When Paul was writing this letter, he was in prison in Rome. He had endured great suffering, great physical suffering in preaching the gospel. Many of his churches were persecuted and endured great suffering. And yet, the gospel continued to go. Thousands of people were believing it. I'm almost of the opinion, I believe that's why Paul is saying this right here to those, to his audience, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, because they knew they could not overcome or resist the authority that was over them. Most of the area that Paul ministered in was all under Roman law and Roman control, and there was no way that this church could do anything against that type of authority. So I'm just thinking today that perhaps Satan learned a lesson in that process. That, and it seems to be true yet today, that the more the church, the body of Christ, is persecuted, the stronger it gets. And I believe it's because they realize, you know, I can't control this. I'm not going to win. I won't be able to be victorious. There's nothing I can do, so I have to trust in the power of God to do my ministry, whatever it is. We don't have that struggle in this nation today. It may come yet, but I think Satan sort of switched his tactics. As we read here, he's changed his method of operation. And it happened quickly in the Bible that persecuting the church doesn't suppress the truth. It only makes it stronger because they have to trust in the power of God. Today, in our country particularly, with the freedom of speech, even though it's starting to be suppressed a little bit, we've been pretty free, and so I believe Satan has deceived us to go to sleep. That the real preaching of the gospel is not in the power of the God or the power of His Spirit, the power of His might. And so Paul says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God to that ye might be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle today is to overcome apathy, not to overcome persecution or anything in our country. It is actually pathetic, is a, I guess an appropriate word, for the amount of real biblical knowledge, particularly concerning the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's almost obscure in our ministries today. But thank God it's not here. But in most preaching and teaching today, the church doesn't have to fight for its existence. It has lost its power. It has lost the armor of God, as we're going to read here today. It didn't need it. We've become complacent. We become comfortable, and we become apathetic. One time a pastor was asked, what do you think is the biggest problem in the church today? Ignorance or apathy? And he said, I don't know, and I don't care. Now, I said that wrong. A pastor asked one of his parishioners that. A pastor wouldn't dare respond that way. Even though he might not know, he might not care. But that is, it's just sad, the ignorance in Scripture. And so I encourage you, as we're going to talk about putting on this armor, that it's going to talk about putting on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We should fill ourselves with the knowledge that's in this book. Going through that Bible study this morning is doing that. When we're in there, going from verse to verse and rejoicing in the riches of His grace, when we're in His Word, the Spirit of God uses that to grow us, to strengthen us, to give us encouragement. And the warfare we're in, like when I was first saved, I believe there's a devil, but I didn't believe he was actively involved in the world today. That's how naive I was until I became a believer. And as I started to read His Word, I became aware that He was alive and well today. I also discovered that He is defeated, even though Christ hasn't brought an end to Him yet. He will do that. We are on the winning side, no matter what. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago that even though I didn't know I was in a spiritual warfare, when I put my faith in Christ, I was automatically inducted into the battle, even though I was ignorant of it. I never served in the military. There's, I'm sure, several people here that have. Is it true that you actually do take a step forward in the induction ceremony? I mean, I've always heard that. Muhammad Ali wouldn't do it. And he went to jail for that for a while and different things like that. Well, when I became a believer in Jesus Christ, I didn't take that step forward. I was saved by grace through faith, trusting in His finished work on Calvary. But I was taken into the army of God. I was inducted. I was extracted out of Satan's army and brought into God's army. And I was ignorant of all of that until I grew in my knowledge of the Scriptures. Today, Satan has most people totally asleep to that spiritual warfare. The dead that are unsaved today don't realize that they're all in His service, even though they would deny that. I've had people tell me, oh, I've always been close to God. Anybody that says that does not know the Scriptures, because every one of us was born dead in trespasses and sins. We were not close to God. We were a child of the devil. We were the children of disobedience. All of those things. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we were taken out of that situation and brought into the family of God, and it became part of His eternal plan for the body of Christ. What a blessing that was. But now we need to, Paul's going to say in Ephesians, we need to wake up from sleep. The day of our salvation is nearer than it was before. And we need to start to become actively involved. If we're going to do that, we need to understand verse 12, back in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and that's ranks of spiritual beings, government, the rule of the spiritual realm. We wrestle against powers, those that have the right to do what they're doing. Anybody that doesn't understand this, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the one that is the head of this present world system. The Scriptures make that totally clear. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Those are spiritual beings that are rulers of the darkness of this world. we battle or wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, in the celestial realm. Those are all facts. If you are naive of that, or if you're ignorant of that, then you need to get into the Word and find out that you are asleep. You're not in the battle. You have been disarmed. You have been rendered virtually useless at this point. How do you actively enlist, so to speak, even though you're already in the army? Rather than taking a step forward, I believe you present yourself a living sacrifice. That you present yourself to God and say, Lord, here I am. I don't have the tools in me to fight this battle. So I just give you myself. I present my body to use for your purpose and your glory. And then you trust Him to take you through some basic training, some boot camp, some knowledge, and all those things. And as we talked about in Bible study this morning, the grace, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not take care of you. It's just guaranteed in His Word. The only problem is we don't always see the battle. We don't see how it's going. The outcome is not our responsibility. And so oftentimes we don't see it in our vision. But oftentimes we experience it in our lives. And we need to trust God through it all. And so because we have this battle going on, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We wrestle not against flesh and blood in all this. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's the way earthly wars are fought. Although that's changing greatly too, you know. It used to be, like I mentioned last week, I think, it was man against man, lining up in lines and shooting each other, and new people coming up and getting replaced and shooting each other. Then they got better means of mass destruction, and they started blowing up people and everything else. But that's all physical warfare. We're not in that battle. And so it goes on to say, for the weapons, even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our battle is not with the world or the physical realm. Our battle is in the spiritual realm, in the world of truth, and in our minds. And that's how it is to be fought. And therefore, Paul tells us back to Ephesians chapter 10, or 6, and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Wherefore, and it sounds like Paul's repeating the same thing, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Take unto you every implement that God has provided for the battle. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, or in the day of evil, in today, this is the day of evil, and having done all, to stand. So when you do this, when you take on the whole armor of God that will enable you to stand, then it's time to stand in the battle. And so we're instructed to put on the whole armor of God, or to take on the whole armor of God, and that is done not in a physical realm, that we can't reach down, so to speak, and pick up the breastplate of righteousness. We can't reach down and pick up the armor of God. But where do we get it from? Well, we get it from God. It's His. But we find it in His Word. It's in His Word that we come to faith. And so this whole idea of putting it on is to stand in faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. Paul's talking to the Corinthians, and he's going to give them a lot of heavy instructions. But he wants them to know that he does not have dominion over their faith. He's not trying to control them. I'm not trying to control you today. I'm just telling you what the Word says. And so Paul says in verse 24 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy." That's our desire as a pastor, is to fill you with the truth of God's Word, that you might rejoice in the riches of His grace, that you will be filled with all the fullness of God in your spiritual battle. "For by faith ye stand." And so it's in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And now that's where, as this church is established upon, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That is critical in this battle. Even though Paul's not going to address it distinctly here, we learn how to fight this battle in Paul's letters. We don't really find out how to fight the battle. We might find things that increase our faith in other places, but the real instructions on how to fight this particular battle is through the writings of the Apostle Paul. He tells us in Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, "Now to Him who is able to establish you by My gospel, He that is able to set you firmly, that you may stand solidly," you need to do that through Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's how you are established. That's how you will stand by faith in this battle. And so we're to take onto ourselves the whole armor of God for two purposes. One, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. Like I mentioned, when I was first saved, I had virtually no knowledge, a little bit secondhand knowledge of the Bible. But I'd never read it. As I look back, I can hardly ever remember opening a Bible.